Have you ever heard a musical artist described as having great chops? What does that mean? Well, the term chops is slang in the music business that refers to an artist that has developed great skills over time, whether they are a musician, composer, producer, or other titles associated with the music business. This is Scott Grimaldi, your host of Got Chops. Join me as I interview one musical artist per episode that I've had the pleasure of either performing, recording, or work with in my career. Plus, I'll be interviewing artists I've always wanted to speak with. We'll discover how each artist developed their chops, listen to their stories, and much more. This is Got Chops.
Every step that you take, everywhere that you look, just look and you'll find. I'll try to get to your soul, try to get to your mind. I'm gonna make you mine. I know I'll never give up. I'm at the end of my rope, from the morning till supper time. And you'll find I'll be waiting in line. I'll be waiting in line.
My special guest artist for today is the drummer and musical director for the American pop singer-songwriter Lou Christie. That's him playing drums behind me, backing up Lou Christie and leading the band. He has graced the stage with iconic artists such as Darlene Love, Gary U.S. Bonds, Gloria Gaynor, Leslie Gore, Dave Valentine, and Bill Charlap, just to name a few. My guest holds a Master of Music degree from William Patterson University in New Jersey and a Bachelor's degree in Percussion Performance from the State University of New York at Purchase. When not performing live, my guest keeps busy with recording sessions, teaching, and composing. He is a published composer who has scored movie soundtracks, composed works for chamber ensemble, concert band, jazz ensembles, as well as commercial music. His popular method book, Groovin' Rudiments for a Drum Set, is published through melbay.com and available on Amazon and at local music stores. This multi-talented artist and musical director certainly got chops. Please welcome Ron Wilson. Hi, Ron. This is Scott from Got Chops. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks.
So on the phone right now, calling from the East Coast, is my very special guest artist for today, Ron Wilson, who is recognized as a drummer, percussionist, musical director, composer, and music educator, and someone that I performed live with on a number of stage shows and club dates over the years. Ron, thanks so much for granting me this time and this interview. I'm looking so forward to our conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
So, as a multi-talented musician, composer, educator, and musical director, what does the music slang Got Chops mean to you?
Let's see. Well, chops basically refers to a very advanced technique on the instrument. Speed, dexterity, fluidity, that kind of thing. When I hear the word chops, that's usually what I think of. Now, there's much more that goes into being a great musician, if you want to get into that, but that's a whole totally different thing. But as far as referring to the term chops, that's how I would define it.
Absolutely, I agree. So when did you first hear of this slang term?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, it goes back quite a ways, you know? I mean, coming up, I can't even put a date on it. It's been quite a while.
So I know you're from the New York, New Jersey area. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah. I've lived here pretty much my whole life. I was born in New Jersey, but basically grew up in New York.
So what was the inspiration and or pivotal moment when you knew the drums and or percussion were going to be your instruments of choice?
Oh, yeah, good question. So I was always really, really into music as far as back as I can remember as a little child. And, bothered my parents that I really wanted to learn how to play. And so my first instrument was really the guitar. I started on guitar, and it was in a group lesson. So there was a bunch of people in this class, and I was like this little kid, but it was mainly adults. And I was like completely lost. I was like, I don't get this. I really needed one-on-one instruction because I just didn't get what was going on. So we stopped that, and but I really wanted to learn how to play. So I went to my parents and said, "All right, look, how about I try the drums?" And they were always very supportive, my parents. And I said, "Okay, well, sure, we'll get you a private drum teacher." And it just felt like home. I had a natural ability for it right away. It made sense to me. And once I started with that, I was like, yeah, okay, this is it.
So, was it the look, the sound, the feel, or a combination of all?
When I first started, I played on a drum pad. I didn't even have a drum set. So I was just banging away on this drum pad. So I don't know if it was the look, really, because I wasn't looking at anything but this little pad that I was banging on. But it just felt right. I could understand it. The rhythms felt good to me. I was learning how to read, which I find I'm a very visual learner. I know some guys don't get into reading. They just want to play, and especially drummers that I know, they don't read music at all. And for me, it was the opposite. Like I really found that I could learn better from the visual aspect of looking at the notes and figuring out, oh, that made sense to me. So as long as well as the oral aspects of hearing things, for me, learning the instrument and even to today, learning new music, I find that it's really helpful for me to look at the notes and learn things that way.
So, who were some of your favorite drummers and/or percussionists and musical artists when you were growing up?
Well, growing up, I was a huge Beatles fan when I was a kid. So, of course, Ringo was a big influence as far as his creativity. If you go back and listen to a lot of the Beatles drum parts, he was very creative in what he did within that group. And then after that, I got heavy into John Bonham and Led Zeppelin. And still today, I listen to these guys, and those were big influences growing up. I've since moved into more of the jazz world, and I'm influenced by a lot of the jazz drummers. But as far as growing up, I think those are probably my two big influences.
So you're also a composer. So share with my listeners where you studied composition and what genres do you compose in?
I'd never really studied composition formally. I mean, I have a master's degree in music, so I have a lot of schooling as far as that's concerned. The only time I really studied composition was when I was taking actually drum lessons from Horace Arnold, famous jazz drummer, and composer as well. And we started talking a lot about that. And at that point in my life, I had been taking drum lessons for years and years and years with different people. And we would spend a lot of time just talking about music, within our drum lessons. And I'd mentioned to him that I was getting more into composing. And he was saying the same thing as he spends a lot of time composing as well. And so we started talking about compositions, especially coming from the point of view of a drummer. And so he was saying, well, why don't you bring some of your stuff in, and we can talk about your what you're writing. And so yeah, that's really where it came from. I would talk to Horace and bring him my compositions, and we would discuss it, and he would say, okay, well, you can try doing this, and maybe you can approach it from this way. And so he really opened my mind to some new concepts as far as where I could take my compositions.
That's great. Excellent. I like what you just said. So speaking of your degrees, let's talk about that a little bit. You earned both a bachelor's degree in percussion performance and a master of music degree. So where did you receive these degrees, and are they both performance degrees?
Okay, so my bachelor's degree is from Purchase University in New York. And yeah, that was a performance degree for percussion and drums. And then the master's degree is not in performance. That's just a plain master's degree in music. I was kind of going back and forth between, I did a lot of playing, but I also was taking education courses, music education.
That's very smart. So let's talk about some of the other influential drum and or percussion teachers before and during your college years.
My main percussion teacher was Ray DeRoche. It was a famous percussion teacher in the New York area. And that was when I was in college. And then I also studied, like I said, with Horace Arnold when I was getting my master's degree. And then I spent some time with Kenwood Dennard as well.
Excellent player. When I was at Berkeley, he was there at the same time. What a great player. Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, really, really amazing player and a super nice guy as well.
Yeah, he was one of those guys when I was there with my other friends, no matter what instrument you played, of course, you also played in different performing ensembles. And I was in one of the ensembles with him, and we all knew. You would look at him and go, this guy's going to make it. You know, he just has it. And that, you know, shows itself at an early age. And lo and behold, yep, he made it.
Yeah, he would do like really, really crazy stuff. Like when I would hang out with him, and he'd be like, yeah, I'm playing a gig tonight, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm like, well, who are you playing with? Oh, no, I'm playing by myself.
Oh.
I was like, oh, wow. So I got down to this, you know, jazz club in the city to see him play. And he's playing keyboards with his left hand. He's playing drums with his right hand, and he's singing on top of it. And it's just him.
Wow.
It was sick. It was so cool. And he was great at it.
Wow.
And another thing that blew my mind with Kenwood was he would do a big band gig sometimes at, I think it was Sweet Basil, one of the clubs on 7th Avenue South. And I went to go see him play one time, and he walks in, we went together, and you know, there's like a house drum set there that's like falling apart, and he takes the cymbals out, and he's got like hi-hats and a crash cymbal, and that's it, this little crash, and it's a big band gig, you know.
Oh god.
So I'm like, gee, you want me to go back to your apartment and get your cymbals? He's like, no, man, there's not enough time. So I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? He was just like, look, man, you know, whatever's there, you make music with it, and that's it, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sat back and watched him, and it was beautiful. I mean, and he drove home that a point to me that, you know, whatever you're facing or whatever you're dealing with on the gig, you make the best of it, and you somehow make music with it.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it, it's on the same plane or thought that guitarists go through. You know, they're playing, and all of a sudden, their high E string breaks, and they're in the middle of a Broadway show, you know, in the pit orchestra. They can't say, stop, I've got to change my string. No, you have enough skills over, you know, how many decades you've been studying and practicing that you go to the B string all the way down to the low E string.
Right, exactly right. You're right, exactly. And even with drummers, I sometimes run into drummers, and, you know, especially in the New York area, a lot of times you show up to the gig and you're using whatever equipment is there.
That's right.
And, you know, I hear guys going, oh, no, I can't possibly play on this equipment. Oh, no. You know, and it's like, well, you know, that drove home the point that you can play on a toy drum set. And if you're a great player, you can make music on it, and it's going to sound great no matter what.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So Talk about some of the iconic artists that you have backed up on stage over the years that include Darlene Love, Gary U.S. Bonds, Gloria Gaynor, Leslie Gore, Dave Valentin, Bill Charlap, and as musical director for Lou Christie.
Yeah, so I've had some definite highlights, and definitely there's a lot there that I'm very grateful for. Lou Christie has been very good to me. I've been his musical director for the past 20 odd years, and that's been a great experience for me to not just be a drummer behind somebody, but be basically in charge of whatever music is going on. And even as far as traveling on the road, I was a road manager, and I had a lot of responsibility as far as even production, on these shows, that especially on the road. So that, it's been a great experience for me. Working with a lot of these artists, you learn a lot just working with these different people. I played with Joey Mollen from Badfinger.
Wow.
That was a highlight. Because as a Badfinger fan, I really liked their music. I was like, wow, it was really cool to be playing with that music with the original guy. So that was a highlight. I played with Mark Lindsay from Pearl River and the Raiders for a while. We toured a bunch.
Very cool. Wow.
That was a lot of fun. The music was a lot of fun, and the guys in the band, we really got along well, so we had a lot of fun. Sometimes you get into these situations where you may be playing in a high-profile gig, but you don't, maybe some of the people in the group don't get along so well, and so it becomes a bit of a drag. But I would say most of the time, at this level, you run into cool people, and if they're not, then they don't last too long.
Absolutely. And for my audience, I mentioned this at the top, but Ron and I have been working together for years on different live stage shows and club dates. And we were just together, what was that, a week or 2 weeks ago with Lou Christie?
Yeah, right. That was fairly recently. Yeah.
That was great. And I wanted to relate something else that you mentioned. When you're on the road, you could be working with some great musicians, but sometimes if they don't know how to get along with people, that makes it for a disastrous time.
Absolutely. I mean, being a great musician is very, very important, of course. But half the battle is you've got to learn how to get along with people, especially when you're traveling. I mean, it's not a lot of time to yourself. You're with each other for long periods of time. And so you've got to be a cool guy, too.
So speaking about your role as musical director for singer and former teen idol Lou Christie, share with my listeners who Lou Christie is and what the job description and responsibilities are of a musical director.
So yeah, Lou Christie, he had several major hits in the late 60s, early 70s. I have a lot of responsibilities on that particular gig. So I'm basically, number one, in charge of all of the music that you hear on the stage. So what generally happens is, I mean, we have a basic unit that we use in the New York area. We're based in New York, so we use a lot of the same guys, which makes my job a lot easier. Guys such as yourself come in and they kind of know the show, and we've done it a bunch of times together, so that makes my life much easier. But traveling on the road is a different story, because basically it's just Lou and myself. And so what happens is, the day of the show, there's a rehearsal in the afternoon, and so I'm walking in blind. Most of the time I don't know any of these people. And they haven't played the music before. And so I'm walking in, and I've got to teach them this show within just the span of an hour or two. And so we do have charts that we read. And so it's imperative that the players know how to read well. And what happens a lot of times is, especially in some places like in the Midwest, if you're in Kansas or something, and you know, you speak to the promoter or the guy in charge, and they go, "Oh yeah, I hired the best guys in town. These guys are the best." Well, they may be the best in that town, but you know,
yeah, they're nice guys too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you don't know. Sometimes you walk in, and you go, "Oh no," but you have to make it happen. You have to find a way to make it happen.
That's right.
And yeah, so it can be challenging at times, but also rewarding. You know, when you play a good show and everything goes well. And so, yeah, there's a lot to it. And then most of the time, it's just Lou and myself traveling together. So I have to handle, you know, basically being the road manager slash security guard slash musical director and drummer on top of it. So I'm conducting from behind the drum chair as well as playing. And you know, I have to listen to everything that's going on. And with this job as well, you've got to be well versed in not only drumming, but you've got to know a lot about all the other instruments. Because what happens is, you know, the guys will say to me, "Hey, you know, what key does this modulate to?" And you know, they may have musical questions. "Hey, I'm not sure about this chord here. You know, what chord is that supposed to be?" So you've got to really be on top of all that stuff as well as being the drummer. You've got to have a lot of knowledge about music and the other instruments.
Absolutely. So was the role of being an MD something you always wanted to do?
No. No, I never aspired to that at all. It was a good opportunity for me when the gig was offered to me. And so I couldn't refuse it. I said, "Well, okay, this is going to be a great opportunity for me to grow as a musician. And it's going to be a lot of responsibility for me to take on." But I was really looking forward to it. And it gave me a chance to play some really great venues across the country and do a lot of traveling. So I didn't feel like I wanted to turn it down. I looked at it as a challenge. You know, and I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to get this together." And so it was nothing that I really aspired to, but it kind of fell on my lap. And I said, "Well, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pursue it and see where it takes me."
Are there differences when leading the band from behind the drum set as opposed to in front of the band?
I have to make sure that everybody sees me well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So a lot of times, what we'll have to do is adjust the positioning on the stage, especially the horn section. I find a lot of times they'll position the horn so that they're facing straight out into the audience, which doesn't work because then they can't see me. They have to be angled a bit so that they can, you know, face front, but also see me from the side so that they can watch my hands and watch my cues.
And I'm sure you're going to agree with this. Most people don't really realize what it takes, you know, for a musician that's playing, backing up someone, and especially for you, you have to be there even earlier.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, it's an all day event. You know, like I said, we've got to be there in the afternoon for a sound check and a rehearsal and make sure, for me, I have to make sure the staging is correct and all that kind of stuff. And then beyond that, you know, what people don't realize is, okay, let's say it's a long day. Okay. But before you even get there, there's a lot of time that you invest. Number one, you've got to keep practicing your instrument. You've got to be on top of your game. And you've got to always be working on that and making yourself a better musician. And a lot of times you must learn the music beforehand. You know, it can be difficult to just come in and sight read everything. Some of these shows are quite difficult. And yeah, you've got to do your homework. You can't just show up blind. You've got to come in and get the job done.
Tell my listeners about your new drum method book, Groovin' Rudiments for Drum Set. It's available on Amazon, melbay.com, and at local music stores. And talk about your published compositions that can be purchased online at artofsoundmusic.com.
Yeah, great. So I've got a publishing deal with Melbay, which is a major music publisher. And yeah, so my book was published this past year, which I'm very excited about. this came about, basically it started years ago. As a teacher, as you know, teaching drum lessons and such, students would come to me and ask questions, and I would kind of write down an exercise for them to work on. I said, okay, well, you know, why don't you work on this, and this should help you out. And so after a while, I had a notebook with all these different exercises that I wrote, and I would always kind of say, you know, I should really put this together and into like a book. But I never had the time because I was always so busy performing and teaching. And it takes a lot of time. You need to really set aside a block of time to really work on it. So one of the beautiful things that came out of the pandemic, of course, gigging stopped, right? There were no concerts. There were no shows going on. I was sitting home. And I said to myself, I can't just sit home and do nothing because we didn't know how long this was going to last. So I said, well, this is the perfect opportunity now for me to do this book and put this together. So I had a whole stretch of time where I had nothing going on, so I could really focus on putting this thing together. And so I finished up the book and I shopped it around, and Mel Bay was very interested. They said, yeah, this is great. You know, we want to put this out. And so I'm excited about it. I think it's very helpful. The feedback I'm getting is very positive. And basically what it is it's the rudiments of drumming, which, again, you know, I would have students that would come to me and say, oh, rudiments, you know, it's kind of boring, you know, just working out on like a drum pad or something. And so I would try to make it more musical and more enjoyable to play. And that's what this book is. It's taking the rudiments of drumming and applying them onto the drum set in a musical fashion. And there's also musical tracks that go along with the book so that you can kind of play along with the musical tracks. So it becomes more musical. And you, at the same time, you're working on these exercises and rudiments that will improve your drumming.
Great. So it's a great motivational tool, especially for young students.
Absolutely.
Good for you. And you have compositions that are published through Art of Sound Music.
Yeah, I do. It's actually percussion. It's written for a percussion ensemble. So it's more towards, educational applications, percussion ensemble. It's like it's more for like a beginning percussion ensemble. So for younger students.
That's great. So we have something else in common also. I've been a published composer and arranger through Art of Sound Music for a number of years now, different genres of music, different ensembles. And, Ed is such a great guy to deal with, and they're very meticulous about taking your score and marking it up and working with you in the editing process. Their sounds where they play your stuff back is just tremendous. And I really like working with that company quite a lot.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't know we had that in common. Okay, great.
Pick two different musical selections from your albums or videos that you feel best represents what you do as a drummer or percussionist that I could filter into this interview as you speak about them now.
The first one we can talk about is called Land of Snow. And the inspiration for this is Led Zeppelin. Getting back to the Led Zeppelin thing again. I've incorporated some Eastern sounding percussion instruments, as well as some, I hope, Bonham-like drumming. And this was a composition I wrote many years ago. But it's coming out of Led Zeppelin influence, where they used some of that Indian style instruments and stuff on tunes like Four Sticks and Kashmir and stuff like that. And so I wanted to kind of write something in that vein. And Land of Snow, that's where that came from.
Thank you.
And do you have a second composition also?
Yeah, this one's called Deer Season. The idea behind this was, again, this was written some years ago. I was sending out, or people would want demos of your playing when I was up for certain gigs. And a lot of the recordings I was doing at the time were more groove oriented, where I was, you know, playing for another artist, and it was more of just laying down a groove. And it wasn't really showcasing my drumming per se. And so I wanted to put something together that would be more of a drum showcase. So yeah, that's me. I wrote that and of course played the drums on it. Did everything except for the guitar solo at the end.
Where can my listeners find you on social media?
My main website is ronwilson.net if you want to see more information about what I'm doing. And then, yeah, social media, my Instagram is Ron Wilson Music. And then Twitter as well, it's called X now. You can find me under Ron Wilson Music.
Please share with my audience any upcoming live performances or projects that you'd like to announce.
I work with Lou Christie a lot, and he's now part of this package show, which is called The Golden Boys, and which includes Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Lou Christie. And I've been doing some shows with them, which is going great. So I'm really looking forward to doing more shows with them in the coming year. I've also got some shows with Gary U.S. Bonds. Coming up in December, we're going to be at the Bergen Performing Arts Center. And I also am in the process of working on a new book, which I don't want to talk about too much because I think it's a very unique idea and I don't want anybody to take the idea.
Of course.
But I am working on a follow-up book, which I'm very excited about. And then, of course, you know, the usual stuff that comes up. A lot of times I'll get calls for things that are sort of, you know, a month away or something like that, which I haven't gotten called for yet. So it's hard to kind of say it too far in advance.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for granting me this time. I've enjoyed our conversation immensely. Like I've said before, you and I have worked together for years, but it's always interesting to talk to people that you know and perform with and find out other things that you weren't aware of. And I am certain that my listeners will agree that after listening to this interview, that you certainly got chops.
Thanks so much, Scott. It's been a blast talking to you. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Have a great day, and I will see you on the next Bandstand.
Thanks, you too.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining me on today's show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and could hear why my guest got chops. You can follow my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Anchor.fm and stay connected between episodes on Instagram at GotChopsPodcast. Join me on the next episode when we discover why my next guest got chops.